is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the book of James in the New Testament, James chapter 4, verse 1. James chapter 4, verse 1. James in the Hebrew means Jacob, and Jacob was the father of the 12 patriarchs, who are heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, who are scattered. And James writes this book to the scattered tribes. So he's not just writing this to any old sinner who goes out and gets drunk and kills people and robs bank. He's talking to Christians who go to church. Now, he's been telling us that faith is so important, how to have faith when you go through your deep troubles, how to find wisdom to handle your troubles from God's word. Don't waver from God's word. If the doctor says one thing and the Bible says another, believe the Bible. If the banker says one thing and the Bible says another, believe the Bible. And so therefore, he told us last night that we also are saved so that we can do some works for the Lord. You're not saved by works, but he said, if you have faith, that you will do works for God. Jesus says you shall know them by their fruit. Now, tonight in James chapter 4, James is still talking about faith. Obviously, that's his message. Why faith? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, and the just shall live by faith, Paul says in Romans 11. And so he's going to tell us in this chapter what could happen to prevent your faith, could make your faith fail. Now, he is addressing chapter 4 to the members of the body of Christ who meet in a corporate assembly. Like we meet here in Trumpet of Truth. We meet here Sundays. We meet here Thursdays. We meet here Wednesdays. We meet different times. And any church should be in the word and prayer. And so we hear the word, which is the voice of God, and then we pray. Now, Jesus says there is a great power. If you knew the power of prayer, you would find a person who can get to God, and you wouldn't quit. You would hold them down until they revealed every secret they've ever learned about prayer. But really, Holy Spirit teaches you. You wouldn't be lukewarm about praying. You would seek it with all your heart, because then you partner with Christ. Prayer literally changes things. Jesus says, if two or more agree as touching anything, it shall be done in this earth. So we agree. But James says now in this chapter, we're going to address that. There are some things, Christian, that as you meet in your ecclesia, your set-aside ones, your church group, that could prevent the corporate prayer from letting the answer come. You yourself as a member could cause it not to be answered by God. Your faith could stumble. See, once in a while we're to judge ourselves. Paul says, judge yourself, you won't have to be. We want to keep a high watch on ourselves, that we're praying right, and we're studying right, and that we're living right. So this is going to help us. So here we go. James chapter 4, verse 1.
James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not even hence of your lust?
Okay. Now he says, oh my goodness, you met down there for the prayer meeting, and there's a little envy and a little strife among you. This will prevent God from handling your prayers. See, we must come together, one accord, no discord. Jesus is Lord, fitly joined together. We must agree in every area on what we are praying for. You understand, that's very important, the prayer of agreement. I have seen churches split up over one side wanted blue carpet and the other side wanted red carpet. I've seen churches split up because Mrs. So-and-so got to be the church soloist instead of somebody else. I've seen people get mad because somebody sat in their seat. And so once you start going to your assembly and you start gossiping behind church members' back or the pastor's back, or tweeting things even suggestive about them, you have broken that. Not only would your prayers be hindered, but you're hindering the prayers of the church. See, we're one body. He said to be holy. We all have to be holy. So you have to watch that. Be very, very careful about that. We pray here in agreement. We've prayed for 8 years, and we're seeing God turn this whole ship of United States of America around. And we watch that, but everybody agreed. But then there are things that we pray for now. One of the ways that Christians will justify gossiping or not liking somebody else or not liking the preacher, they will say, I have a prayer request. Why, yes. Well, Pastor, we need to pray for Sister Susie. She's having an affair with a married man. Woo! And everybody says, what? Juicy, juicy, juicy. So nobody's caring about Susie's mixed up and lost. You see what I'm saying? Watch your text. Watch that they are not snarky or just even to imply something. In other words, let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Jesus said you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So if you're in assembly and you're resenting someone in there, or you're criticizing someone, you may be criticizing the pastor's hair or whatever else, then you are blocking the prayers. Now, this means all of us. So, body of Christ, awaken.
That war in your members.
That war in your members, the member of the body of Christ. You know, we just finished Ephesians, and he says, we don't fight with flesh and blood. We are warring with principalities and powers of the air. Satan is the prince of the air. And he has his army. He has his generals, his majors, his lieutenants, his sergeants, and his privates. I saw Barack Hussein Obama invite one of Satan's best demons to come and take over the United States of America. President Obama, at that time he was president, he invited Bo Bergdahl's father to come to the Rose Garden, right there at the White House, which means the capital of the United States of America. And he prayed to Allah an Islamic prayer. I nearly fell on the floor. I felt the demons there. And boy, all hell broke loose. Now, we've been praying against this, and so God has answered our prayer. We have the greater power. But see, there, Satan sends demons over a nation, and that's why we're having to drain the swamp. He sends demons over a state, over a city, and over a church. When I first started my studio in Cocoa Village, it was then the drug capital of Brevard. It was really bad. God put me right in the middle of that, because then I would take my beautiful music, singing the scriptures, singing the Christmas story, go out and put a pageant out into the streets there, and it began to dissipate. I was driven out by those demons 3 times, but guess who lost? They are gone, and I'm still standing. Now, so Satan also sends a demon to war within the congregation. It's very difficult for demons to come in here because I can see them. Sometimes they walk in and they have a flesh body, but they're not really a person. I can tell that. One of the ways Satan tries to come into an assembly like this where we're so pure about the word in prayer is through my telephone. Demons can do that. Scott and I pray together here 2 hours every Thursday. And very often the Spirit of God will be coming through and that phone will ring and it won't be anything but a demon. But another way Satan does to break up a group like this is to come piggyback by members coming in, resenting someone else, being jealous of someone else, not totally devoted, thinking, boy, I could do better than that. I wish I had that platform. I was the head deacon. I wish I was the preacher. I wish I could do that. I could sing that. You see what I'm saying? And none of that matters.
And have not, kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, and yet ye have not, because ye ask not. 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss.
Okay. So there you are. You're praying corporately. And we're all praying about something. Maybe we're praying about the radio ministry to expand. But you are wanting to be somebody in this group. You want to be important. You want the new people to come in to know that you're very important in this group, because you see some people look to go into church as a club of self-worth. Well, it is a club in a way, because it's God's club, but that's not the reason. So then when you pray corporately, if you got the wrong idea that you want to pray it on yourself so that you will be the star singer, so that you will be the preacher, so that you'll get to be on the TV and be somebody, then you ask amiss and you don't have it. You ask for the wrong reasons. Understand?
Yes.
That ye would consume it upon your lust.
You consume it upon your lust. Pride, pride, pride.
For ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
Now, I love James. I've called him his personality. He got to write one book in the Bible, so he's going to cram everything in there that he can. He doesn't change the subject in that his whole book is about faith. But now he's going to say, you can also hinder your faith from getting the corporate church, your corporate assemblies, prayers answered, because you love the world. In other words, you are not married to Jesus. You want to be a part of the world. You want the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You want to be somebody out there. Your whole goal is to get property and get a house and get money and a good feeling. And you want the good feeling. You want the love. You want the adoration. In other words, Jesus says in John 17, they are in the world, Father, talking of his elect. But they're not of the world. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. And he said, I pray thee not to take them out of the world. God needs his elect here. We're the salt and we're the light. And we go through and we break down these strongholds of demonic forces wherever we go, in the church and in the streets and in the cities and in the nation, in the capital, and in Washington, D.C. So, but he said, love not the world. Now, be very careful if your goal in life is to get a great big nice house, a lot of money, and the right mate. It's not wrong. You're supposed to have a house. You're supposed to have enough money. And it's okay to have a right mate. Paul says it's better if you're totally called of God not to marry, because your family's going to distract you. But if you can't not have a family, go ahead and do that. But you'll have to work it. Your family understands that you are called of God. And so he says, love not the world. Remember that you're not here about a house or a job or a dog or a mate or fun or Disney World. You're here on an assignment to bring forth the word of God to this lost world. Jesus is the living word, and the Bible is Jesus in print.
Amen.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
See, when you go siding in the world, you automatically become the enemy of God, because the world is not interested in God. What about adultery and adulterers? If you don't get it right in the church about the word, when the Antichrist comes very soon at the sixth trump, he's Jesus, he's the devil with his Jesus costume on. You're going to marry him, which will cause you to have committed adultery to the real Jesus. You'll be deceived, because Satan is coming as the god of the world. And if you're looking to the world and what's going on there and what that's going to be, oh, people, please know why you're here and get with it. You'll be a happier person when you die to yourself and let Jesus live his life through you.
Think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. 6. But he giveth more grace. Therefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Just be content. You have a gift. Take that gift, do the best you can with what you have where you are for Jesus' sake today. Stop being envious of someone else. You know, when you use one gift to the full max, That's why you saw me go ahead and play the little gloves while I go. I'm not throwing that gift away. In other words, everything you have counts. What do you do with your room? What do you do with your room? What do you do with your car? What do you do with your washing machine? What do you do with your food? Scott, I know you give it all away. Me too. We pass the test.
Seven. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God.
Give yourselves completely to God. Yield. Stop saying, I want this and I want that. If you put God first, he's going to take care of the rest. I am living proof, folks.
Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
I want you to memorize that verse. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When I first started my studio, I got this chance to resist the devil, and he did flee from me. It was very hard for me. I had started the school by faith. I felt the Holy Spirit. I jumped off a bed. I actually had a bed then. I jumped off and said, I'm going to start the school. I knew God had put it together, gave me a piano and put me in the right place. I had $45. It was very hard because for 12 years, people came, very few could pay me. They thought I was the government lady and was doing it for free. They call me the government lady. It was very hard. And so I felt sometimes I couldn't make just, I don't know what, do you know what it's like to have every bill that you got to pray it through? But I did, and God would come through. So one night I was sitting on my bed, I was not asleep, and suddenly I saw before me in my bedroom a great big dragon with a tail as long as eternity. I know the Bible, Revelation 12 says the dragon is that old serpent, the devil, who is the devil. And the tail as long as eternity means that he was from the first earth age. That's Lucifer. And he came to me. There's this dragon. I was still looking at the tail because I was looking into eternity. And I knew eternity was forever. And I could see past eternity. And I could see that he was about to get me. His teeth came down on my hand. If they had closed over my wrist, he would have killed me because he was going to bleed me to death. I lifted up my hand. This is not a dream. I was totally awake. It was a vision. I lifted up my hand and I said, no, you will not destroy me. And he fled just like you'd never have known he was there. And then the beautiful voice from heaven gave me an encouraging word that I have held on to all these years. I'll tell you, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will lift up a standard. Now, I want you to learn how to resist the devil, and I'm going to help you with that right now. The way Jesus resisted the devil, Matthew 4, is Jesus would say, it is written, and then Jesus would quote the scripture. The word of God is like a two-edged sword and chops Satan's head off. All right, let's just say, okay, that you're afraid. How many of you are afraid out there in cyberspace? A lot of you are afraid, okay? Okay, we're going to resist the devil. Fear is a spirit from the devil. That is not of God. That is of the devil. So let's resist him, okay? It is written.
It is written.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
On the power of the blood covenant.
On the power of the blood covenant.
God has not given me a spirit of fear.
God has not given me a spirit of fear.
But of power.
Of love.
Of a sound mind. Okay. Let's say the doctor gave you a bad report and you don't like it. It's sickness. It is written. In Jesus' name. On the grounds of the blood covenant. He sent his word and healed me. And with Jesus' stripes I am healed. Let us say you don't have enough money. Resist the devil. It is written. In Jesus' name. On the grounds of the blood covenant. God gives seed to the sower.
And multiplies the seed sown.
Now that's how you do it. You resist it. It is written. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Grounds of the blood covenant. Amen. Say the scripture. The devil cannot stand up under that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now you've got some working tools, so work them.
8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.
See, you drew nigh to God when the devil came there. I drew nigh to God, and I said, no, you will not destroy me. I was aware that it was Satan come to destroy me before I got to finish or do, because I was just beginning the great work that God has used me to do. And I knew that. And that's what he's doing for you. He's trying to stop you before you even start. Don't let him. Resist him by the word of God. For God's sake, use that Bible I'm teaching you.
Cleanse your hands, ye sinners.
And ask forgiveness of God for being jealous of anybody in the church. Ask God to forgive you for writing texts and emails criticizing the pastor or anybody else in that. It is a sin. Until you get this cleansed, until you can learn to love one another in your assembly, in your corporate body, your prayers are hindered and they're hindering the group. See, I don't care about leading large prayer groups. I don't care about large assemblies. Most people don't have it right. Just give me a handful of people who will pray with me in agreement, and I am so happy, because I know that prayer has power, and we move the hand of God by right praying. We don't want anybody who would disagree.
Purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Say you're unstable if you're going to love the devil one minute and love God the next. That's unstable. You'll never get anything. You're wavering.
9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Your joy to heaviness.
What he means here doesn't mean to actually afflict yourself. It would be a symbol that when you realize that you yourself have caused your church group's prayers to be hindered, or that you're hindering something from happening that you need very much by your trying to judge and to criticize and criticize people. What you do is lay prostrate before him. You don't have to do it physically, but spiritually. Just, Lord, have mercy. Who am I? Here am I. Forgive me, cleanse me, use me. You want me to scrub the toilets, I'll do that, Father. It doesn't matter. And he says, if you will humble yourself before the Lord, he will lift you up. Let God promote you and not man.
Turn, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
That's what I just said.
11. Beloved, speak not evil one to another.
One of another. Don't talk about one another.
He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law.
The law is the word. Jesus is the living word. Now, if two people are prayer partners, they do have to know what the problem is to pray for. You understand? But if you have the right prayer partner, we're there to help that person, not to gossip. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference there. When Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged in the Beatitudes there in Matthew, he didn't mean that you're supposed to not have any common sense or not have discernment of spirits. Discernment of spirits is one of the gifts of Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. It's essential in these last days, or you're going to get conned. In other words, I can discern whether it's an evil spirit coming in here. I can discern when someone sits on the bench whether it's really the right thing or there's other motivation for that. I can discern on the telephone whether it's demonic or whether it isn't. Am I anybody special? No, you're supposed to do the same thing. You got the same Holy Spirit I've got. I just work mine, okay? I just exercise mine. But it means that we are not the judge to say that this person's going to heaven and this person's going to walk into the lake of fire. Only God will do that.
But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge.
Last week he said, you want to be doers of the word, not hearers only. He said, not only are you not a doer of the word, now you set yourself up as a judge. That's double jeopardy.
12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy.
Jesus says in Matthew 10, around that verse 28, fear not him who can kill the body, but rather fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. Polycarp was 83 years old, and the Roman soldiers' government said, we'll let you live, we won't burn you in the fire if you will deny Christ. Polycarp said, 83 years, he hath walked with me, and he hath never done me any wrong. Why should I do him wrong now? And he said, come on, set the fire. What he said was, that would only last a while, but the lake of fire is eternal.
Who art thou that judgest another? 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city.
Now, go to now is an old English phrase meaning come on now. Now, he's going to seem to change the subject or not, but he's trying to get us as corporate church to come together in agreement so we have faith to know our prayers are answered. So he's going to touch another subject, and I'll let it play, the scripture play, and I'll explain.
And continue there a year, and buy and sell and get grain. 14.
Okay, so now you're a member of the body of Christ. You go and you get the word, and you're trying to pray. And God has a place for everyone. Right now, your place might be just to sweep the floor. It might be to pray, to learn to pray with great love. But then you say, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to go over there and buy that land and do something. Well, that might be good, but is that what God said? What he's about to say is, your life is not for you to decide that you're going to do this and you're going to do that and you're going to do the other. God has a plan for you in the corporate church, and that's the one you seek. And so he's going to talk about saying, if it be thy will. You know, throughout my life, I have served the Lord in many capacities, and I'm glad I did in so many ways. Some of those things and services I used to do, I'm not doing now. I would if God told me, but he had another platform. He had this platform for me. See, there's a season for things. It might be a good thing to do. You might say, gee, I'm going to buy that property and build a homeless shelter. I've always wished I could have a homeless shelter for the homeless ones to help them, but that isn't mine to do. I will take you to it. I will give money for that, but I don't know how to build a homeless shelter, and that's not my gift. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Sometimes you can get too scattered. You're serving Lord, and I know I remember that way. I used to try to do everything Jesus said in Matthew all at one time because I wanted to be a good Christian. I loved him. And you wear yourself out. Find out your place. Do it. And if a thought or idea comes, don't just say, I'm going to go do that because I'm in charge. I'm driving the car. Wait a minute.
Whereas not, you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away.
It's like some steam comes up out of a bowl with your steamed broccoli there. And that's you, and then you're here, and then you're gone. So wait just a minute before you decide what you're going to do with your life. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be an Indian chief. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Wait a minute. What do we do?
15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this.
You ought to say, if it's the Lord's will. Now, there are Christians that say that if, when you pray, you say, if it be your will, that you are weak and that you do not believe. Now, let me explain a little bit about this. There's a difference between praying and saying. Jesus told us to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and raise the dead. We do it in his name and in his blood, and we give him the glory. But when I'm casting out a demon out of somebody, I don't tell that blasted demon to go to the abyss and say, if it be your will, Lord. You see what I'm saying? He's already told me to do that. That's saying. There's a time to say and stand up and demand, not of God, but demand the enemy stop. Then there's a time to pray. Here's what, when people come to me, and I pray, I have a 3-hour intercessory prayer every morning of my life. Yep, I just sit right there and pray for everybody for 3 solid hours. And it's amazing. But what I pray is the Bible for them. The Bible is always God's will. It's his last will and testament. But when you come to those gray areas, like should I take this job? Should I marry this person? Then say, Father, is this your will? in everything I do. Even when he told me to go on the radio, I was sure he said, teach Daniel on the radio. That's how we started there. This time, I'd been on the radio some years earlier, but this time. And so I put it all out, and I said, I will do this. Is this, are you definitely show me this is your will? So you're not being weak when you say, if it be your will. You would be kind of sottish. That's a Hebrew word. Guess what it means? You figure it out. You'd be kind of sottish if you didn't want his will. His will is always the best way.
Or that. 16. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
What a beautiful verse. To him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Remember, he's talking about the corporate church where we meet in an ecclesia like this. We meet for the word and we meet for prayer. Now, remember, he's talking to Christians. He didn't say, I'm going to tell you something. If you rob that bank, that's a sin. If you kill that person, that's a sin. If you do drugs, that's a sin. No, he said to you, Christian, if you know to do good and you do it not, then it is sin. All right, he kind of wrapped his faith message back up and said, faith without works is dead. Praise God. Amen. Next week, we'll go to chapter 5, and we're going to learn how to have faith to be healed, for it is his will. I will, he said to the leper, I will be thou healed, be thou clean. God bless you. I hope you were blessed there. Well, it's time now for a mystery moment, and I want to introduce you. That's questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce you to the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. That was a great word tonight. I mean, teaching us how to be doers of the word. Right?
Yes.
Exercising that authority. That's awesome.
Yes.
Okay, our first question tonight. Does President Trump, as he noticed that President Trump just brought North and South Korea together, is this a more prophecy coming true?
Yes, it's definite prophecy. Jesus says in Mark 13, beware when they say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. That word destruction there in the Greek is destroyer, meaning the Antichrist is about to come. President Trump is absolutely correct in bringing peace. We are the peacemakers, blessed are the peacemakers, for this is the kingdom of God. But at the same time, it is a sign that Satan's about to come in the sky, kicked out by Michael, Revelation 12, calling himself Jesus Christ, calling himself the Savior. That'll be the devil with Jesus' costume on. And he's going to say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. So yes, it's a very, very definite sign. We're very close to the Antichrist appearance. Don't be afraid, because you know what? When the Antichrist comes, while that's a time of testing, for those of us who are God's elect and obeying James' instructions to us, this is going to be time of us working supernaturally by the anointing of Holy Spirit to bring forth the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Our next question, Max Merson asked this.
Max Merson.
Yep. Does Satan know that he is bad?
Does Satan know he's bad? Maximilian Merson, that's Scott's wonderful son. Max, Satan doesn't think he's bad. He thinks he's perfect. See, he thought he was so good, that's why he decided to be God. He doesn't know he has any faults. He loves himself. He's beautiful. He's a great musician. He did have the anointing, and he hates those of us who have it now, and he's very wise. He just thinks that everybody ought to love him, and he can't comprehend that we would all not all be madly in love with him. He doesn't even think in terms of right or wrong.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
Lord, I pray for your testing to produce refinement within me. I pray for a guard to be placed before my tongue so that my words are spoken in agreement with you. I pray for a continued spiritual awakening of my senses and a covering to be placed around my heart So I will not embrace deceptions and only receive the spirit of truth. Lord, galvanize my words with charity so they will always be fruitful, shining your love and light. Guide me through your truth, O Lord, into all truth, dispelling all the lies that have been taught as truth. Lord, I pray for a strategy. I pray for guidance through your will and into the essence of your heart. Give me expression, O Lord, to the understanding of your word. John 17:5. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, and we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Beautiful, Scott Merson. You want to go and eat some of that wonderful, healthy food down there. That is manna from heaven. You like to worship, to shop at this produce place because they have Christian music. And it's just a beautiful place. Scott does not pay me to say that. We're just twins. I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. But first of all, if anyone is not saved, I want you to pray this with me, mean it, and be saved. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I repent of them all.
I repent of them all.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe the blood of Jesus can wash away my sins.
I believe the blood of Jesus can wash away my sins.
Save me.
Save me.
Fill me with your spirit.
Fill me with your spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To increase your kingdom.
To increase your kingdom.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, if you prayed that, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number shortly. Wait till the end of the program. And feel free to call me and leave that message on my voicemail, and I will pray with you. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask now, O Son of Righteous, arise with healing in your wings. The hand of Jesus touch the body. Anything out of place, touch it, move it back in perfect alignment. Anything missing, make a new one. Pain stop, disease be gone. Blood be healed, lupus be healed, Crohn's disease be healed. In the name of Jesus, diabetes go. Nerve damage be healed. Let the nerves be unpinched, backbone, spine, central nervous system, top of your head to the soles of your feet. Healing virtue. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Hallelujah. Everybody say, with Jesus' stripes.
With Jesus' stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
Praise you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you would also like to call and leave that message on, that would be very great too. On Sundays, meet me here at my school, 5 p.m., the word in prayer, corporate prayer, and we don't diss each other. And Wednesday, 6 p.m., Thursday, Scott meets me here from 12 to 2, and we'll pray for you if you walk in or call in, or we just pray anyway. Don't forget the radio. Tell everybody about Trumpet of Truth, WMIEFM.com, on demand. I have tons of the books of Bible on there, book, chapter, verse, and line. This is the way you can just have study. You can have college courses in there with my teachings, and this is a chance for you to study. And just many, many books there, so tell people about it. Until next time, oh, by the way, remember that Jesus said, Thy word is truth, John 17:17, and he is the living word. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson saying, we love you, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord direct your path, the Lord use you to be a great big light for Jesus Christ in this world. And until next time, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
You've been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
For so long, I've been putting all my effort into you. My heart is bare. I've been looking everywhere for truth.
Take me back to the time when I was maybe 8 or 9, and I believed. When Jesus walked on waters blue, and if he helped me, I could too, if I believed. Before rationale, analysis, and systematic thinking robbed me of a sweet simplicity. When wonders and when mysteries were far less off than silly dreams and childhood fantasies. Help me believe, 'cause I don't want to miss any miracles. Maybe I'd see much better by closing my eyes. And I would shed this grown-up's help me believe. When mustard seeds made mountains move, a burning bush that spoke for you was good enough. When manna fell from heaven's high, just because you told the sky to earth. Logic fails my reasoning, science crushes underneath the weight of all that is unseen. Help me believe, 'cause I don't wanna miss any miracles. Maybe I'd see much better by closing my eyes. Reservations. I'm the first to cave, I'm the first to bleed. If I abandon all that seeks to make my faith informed and chic, could you, would you show
flowers of the Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
You choose the humble and raise them high. You choose the weak and make them strong. You heal our brokenness inside and give us life. The same love that set the captives free.
The same love that opened eyes to His glory.